Welcome to African Conversations with your host, Charles Williams. And today we have Dr. Jawanza Kunjufu. Dr. Kunjufu of Chicago, Illinois, conducted his undergraduate studies in economics, business, and education at Illinois State, Morgan State, and Towson University. He received his doctorate at Union Graduate School in Business Administration. Dr. Kunjufu is the founder of African American Images, a publishing and distribution company for Afrocentric media. He has published over 30 books which cover the spectrum of African American issues. Okay, good afternoon, Dr. Kunjufu.
And how are you, Charles?
And welcome to African Conversations. You've penned over 30 books from education to economics, and we know you've labored tirelessly to share your wisdom for the resolution of the social illnesses that have plagued the African-American community. While I will not ask you to restate so much of what is contained within your volumes of writings, I'm compelled to inquire you as a former student of African-American education system through the graduate level, why have your ideas been marginalized by African-American educators?
Well, I wouldn't take the position that they've been marginalized. I mean, for example, our curriculum, SECLE, Self-Esteem Through Culture Leads to Academic Excellence, that we created in 1988, is used in hundreds of schools nationwide, not only Afrocentric charter schools, but also public schools, along with our textbook, Lessons from History. As you know, I've written several books concerning and addressing African-American males, like Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys, Keeping Black Boys Out of Special Education, Raising Black Boys, and Understanding Black Male Learning Styles. And as a result of that, along with other researchers, we now have over 500 classrooms or schools that are single-gender schools, including two of the best schools in the country, Urban Prep in Chicago, with 100% placement of their graduates into four-year colleges, and Eagles Academy in New York. So I don't see it being marginalized at all.
Well, I'm not saying that there are no successes. What I'm getting is that I'm from the South, and all the educators that I'm in contact with, they are not aware or seem to be even promoting the progressive ideas that you have been leading over the past several decades. That's what I meant.
Well, let's stay there for a moment, because even in the South, there are single-gender schools in the South. There are Afrocentric schools in the South. But as you know, whether it's the South, the North, the East, or the West, there are still large numbers of educators, including African-American educators, who believe if you're black, if you're poor, if your father is not in the home, if the mother lacks a college education, then you will not be able to reach your full potential. And as a result, they then lower the expectations. But let me say this. In the South, in New Orleans, at Xavier University, there is no school with a greater placement of pre-med students in the medical school other than Xavier. So it's being done all over the country. So I think that, unfortunately, the media has this concept, if it bleeds, it leads. And I'm naive enough to believe that there are still people out there that would like to watch a news show where positive things were mentioned, whether it's a rites of passage program, a mentoring program, tutoring, Saturday academies, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. There are just numerous. For example, the media would have us to believe that there are more black men in prison than in college. That's not true. There are 841,000 African-American males in prison. There are 1.2 million African-American males in college. Now, with the media, they like to jumble things. They like to combine federal and state prisons with jail, with probation, with parole. Well, yeah, if you combine all those, then the figure would exceed college. Even I also think it's unfair to compare college, which is primarily 18 to 25-year-old males, to a prison that could run a gamut from 16 years of age to 96 years of age.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you cleared that up, because that is definitely the conception, even on so many black campuses, is that there are more black people, males, in prison than in college, and many of the education students and education professionals in many regions of the South that aren't as progressive as Xavier University in New Orleans have been, and I have to applaud them for being able to take your programs and put them into action.
Thank you.
Could you also maybe give us some insight as to why some educators even try to approach, I guess, the development of African-American students with some of the same strategies as they do with other ethnic, social, political groups?
Well, you know, it comes down to a denial of their history and culture. For example, unfortunately, even some African-American educators would have us to believe that Columbus discovered America, that Lincoln was the great emancipator, and he freed the slaves, and that Hippocrates is the father of medicine. As you and I know, Charles, the reality, the Native Americans were here before Columbus, and if you read the work of Ivan Van Sertima, they came before Columbus, or any African history book that looks at Africa before America. It was called the Olmec Civilization, and 800 B.C., well before 1492 A.D., Africans had left Africa and traveled to the quote-unquote New World, and the same design of the pyramids in Egypt existed in Mexico. If people don't want to read any of my books, if they simply read the Hippocratic Oath, Hippocrates clearly indicates in his oath that he studied in Egypt, and he even uses Imhotep's Greek name, Aesculapius, but his African name was Imhotep.
That's correct. Totally true. I've had opportunity to have studied Van Sertima's work and to know all this to be factual, including the work by Dr. Barry Fay of Harvard University. In the 70s, wrote a series of books, starting with America B.C., where he chronicled not only the presence of the Egyptians here, but the Libyans, ancient Putins, and Canaanites. All of the Western Hemisphere had been colonized by Africa.
Right. Now, you know, what makes this complicated, Charles, is that unfortunately for many schools and educators, they've allowed society to reduce the school year down to 5 to 10 days of state and federal testing. And so many educators feel if Imhotep or Malcolm or Garvey are not going to be on the state exam, then there's no reason for it to be taught. And so that's another rationale that some people use, that there's no need to teach African history and culture because it's not going to be on the test. The reality is that large numbers of African-American children associate being smart with being white. And they make that association because they have not been taught their history and their culture. For example, there's one set of Afrocentric schools in Kansas City, Missouri, and several years ago, before they became Afrocentric, their students were the 30 percentile. They then infused their curriculum, made it more Afrocentric, used our curriculum, Sekle, our textbook lessons from history, other books that were available, and those same students that were black, low income, father missing in action, those same students went from the 30 percentile to the 70 percentile. Now, Charles, what was really significant about this is that the state exam is still Eurocentric. And yet, these students, because they were confident, because they were taught their history and their culture, regardless of what they were being asked, they understood the information and were able to answer it correctly. So African history and culture not only is important as it relates to self-esteem, it can also raise academic achievement.
Yes.
On a white exam.
Right, right. Just being able
to. Which is one reason why so many graduates of black colleges, for example, black colleges only have 12% of African-American students. they produce almost 30% of African-American graduates. Now, people may say, well, it's probably easier to graduate from Howard than Harvard. Well, over 70% of African-Americans who earn their graduate degrees from white universities like Princeton, Harvard, and Yale were undergraduates at the black college. So being taught your history and your culture gives you confidence to be able to compete in a larger marketplace.
That's correct. And I think that has been understated by too many people. Could you tell us about your other projects that you have, like the Community of Men or any other things like that?
Well, we have a conference that we have every year. It's in the first week of May, the first Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's the Educating the African-American Male. As you know, Charles, unfortunately, large numbers of black boys are not doing well in school, and literally the precursor is reading. I never knew when I wrote Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys that there were going to be governors who were going to use our research on fourth grade to determine prison growth. I mean, in the economic times in which we live, it will be much cheaper to teach a black boy how to read in fourth grade than to build a prison that's going to cost $38,000 a year per inmate with a recidivism of 85%. Only 12%, Charles, of black boys are proficient in reading by eighth grade. And if you are behind in reading at the end of first grade, there's only a 20% chance that you will ever reach grade level in reading before you graduate from high school.
Wow.
80% of the children in special ed are not there because of ADD or ADHD. They're there because they're behind in reading. And what we really need to specify here is that they're behind the girls. See, the problem is most American classrooms have designed a female classroom for large numbers of male students. Girls mature faster than boys. They read earlier than boys. They have a greater attention span. They're more focused. They're more disciplined, less influenced by their peer group. And unfortunately, many educators do not allow for those gender differences. So in my books and in this conference, we train teachers nationwide to understand male learning styles. If you know that boys have a shorter attention span, then shorten the lesson plan. If you know that boys have a higher energy level, allow more movement. If you know that girls mature faster than boys, then allow a different pace as you present the information to your students.
That's certain. I mean, you're always supposed to be able to modify any type of program to achieve the optimum effect of the intended or stated goals.
Exactly.
Right. And the sad part is that it appears as though that the stated goals of educating the children and all the students are not the real objective. It's really to, like I said, to retard the development or minimize the development of the male and to maximize development of the female in contrast to the male.
And unfortunately, some teachers lower expectations based on four factors: race, income, gender, and appearance. So if you're black, if you're poor, if your father's missing in action and you didn't take a bath and dress properly the next day, then unfortunately your teacher may give you low expectations. Charles, as we wind down, we have found research that two consecutive years of an ineffective teacher could destroy a child for life. Now, the reverse of that is that two consecutive years of a master teacher could produce a scholar. The problem is that there are five types of educators in America. First of all, you have custodians. These are the ones who graduated in 1982 using the same lesson plan 30 years later. Then you have referral agents. They don't teach. They refer students to special ed and suspension. Then you have instructors. They believe they teach subjects, not students. And then you have teachers, master teachers. They understand subject matter, but they understand that you that there should be a congruence between pedagogy and learning styles. You don't give left brain lesson plans to right brain learners. And then lastly, we have coaches. They understand subject matter. They understand learning styles, but they also understand you can't teach a child that you do not respect, that you don't understand their culture. And let me just close with this. President Obama wanted to visit the school that had the greatest turnaround in terms of a greatest improvement in test scores. And that school just happened to be in Memphis, Tennessee, Booker T. Washington High School. And when the principal was asked, what did she do differently this year to turn it around? She said she required her teachers, if you want to teach in my school, you must love my children. And that, I think that's the greatest challenge of all, that there are large numbers of teachers, black and white, who have not bonded, who do not like, and who do not love our children. And our children know that.
Right. I've had negative experiences like that myself as a student. But thank goodness I had a high reading level early on. But I thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
And for your listening audience, if they use your name in the call letters of the station and call 800-552-1991, 800-552-1991, we have a set of books. If they click on radio, there's a set of books for teachers, for parents, for teenagers, a set called Best Books for Boys, Best Books for Girls. So that either go to the website, AfricanAmericanImages.com, or call 800-552-1991. They have to mention your name, Charles. It's 30% discount and free shipping. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
And have a good day.
You too.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book appears every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a literary society dedicated to the study of African-based psychoanalytical texts. We hope you will join us as we delve into the inner working of our African consciousness. African Knowledge Beyond the Book, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
Greetings, I'm Eric Teamer, host of Common Sense Conversations. Join me every Tuesday and Friday when I put common sense where it ain't so common. That's Common Sense Conversations, every Tuesday and Friday, 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central, 3:30 Pacific. Common Sense Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.